Hello, this is Robert Rickover at AlexanderAudio.com, and today my guest is Marta Corbello, who's an Alexander Technique teacher of some 25 years teaching experience. She teaches in New York City, Norwalk, Connecticut, and Santa Fe, New Mexico. She's also on the senior faculty of ACAT in New York, a teacher training course there. And we're going to talk today a little bit about how an Alexander Technique teacher might work with a student who has MS. Marta herself had MS and used the technique to help her quite a bit with that, and in fact, her neurologist was so impressed with her progress that he asked her to speak about the technique at a major multiple sclerosis symposium in New York City. Marta, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Robert. It's good to be here.
Marta, could you begin by just filling our listeners in very, very briefly on what MS is?
Mm-hmm. The myelin sheaths that are around our nerves they become scarred by these episodes that MS people have, and the electrical impulses don't go through, and therefore, for instance, any part of you can be affected. I happen to be paralyzed on my right side for a number of weeks, and then I have remitting relapsing MS. There are two kinds. There's chronic progressive MS and there's remitting relapsing MS. And I'm lucky enough to have the remitting relapsing MS. And I've had a couple of episodes. I was paralyzed and I also had double vision, which is also a very common symptom of MS. So it really can affect you in any way, in every way, and the more and more episodes you have, the more scarring, and that's why it's called multiple sclerosis. The more sclerosis you have, the less impulses, and the less functional you'll be.
Mm-hmm. So, for an Alexander Technique teacher listening to this, and who has a student coming or a student who has MS. I could imagine, and especially if they're a newer teacher, there might be some trepidation on their part about how to work with someone like that. Are there any special precautions they should take? Could you say a word or two about that?
Yeah, sure. In essence, you're really working the same way you would work with anyone, but the sensitivity is, which we do anyway, is just to just listen, because the person with MS, for instance, if they have spasticity or a problem with balance, needs to know that they're heard, and that you, I think I had mentioned this, because I have MS, the students that come to me with MS feel more comfortable. But if you would know a little bit about MS before they would come in, it would be very, very useful. Mm-hmm. And if, of course, yourself staying with yourself and staying back, and then just treat the person like you would anyone else.
Mm-hmm. But in terms of how much activity you might ask uh-huh. them to do, or
yeah.
how much you might think a lesson should accomplish, do you think that might be modified a bit in the sense that you would need to respect the student's ability?
Limitations?
Yeah.
For instance, it seems very obvious that, for instance, on the table, and if they have a problem with leg movements, I use pillows for their legs as opposed to putting their legs up in mm-hmm. being in a semi-supine position, mm-hmm. or I helping them up on a table. I have a bench, and I guide them to the table. In movement, I just make sure I'm very close by. You know, I'm always close by, but that I'm more aware that that there's a possibility of falling, and letting them know in a very calm voice that I'm, you know, I'm here and you're going to be okay in this movement. And it's just about letting the person trust you and knowing that you have a skill that you want to teach them, and that's what you're doing.
And do you think it would be important to say to them at the outset that we're going to do some simple activities like standing up and sitting down and walking and so on, but that if you find yourself getting tired, you should let the teacher know?
Feel free
to do that, not feel like this is any kind of I mean, I presume that most MS students with MS are going to realize this is not an aerobics class.
Yes.
But they might have some, I would think, sometimes some concern that they might be asked to do more than they're comfortable with.
Yeah. No, that, of course, that's never the case. And for instance, most people, when they're on the table, I ask to keep their eyes open because, again, we're learning a skill in your everyday life. But people with MS that are very fatigued, you know, for a short while, so they can close. I don't care if they close their eyes as long as they don't fall asleep. And, you know, I can be flexible in whatever their needs are. And and I let them know that right away.
Now, you had mentioned the fatigue being a common symptom
of MS. Common.
Would you say there's also something that we could label mental fatigue, that is that there's only so many things you could think about or so long you can think about something?
Yeah, that's very interesting that you said it, because I forget that my neurologist often refers to it as you lose headroom. There's only so much that you can take in, and I think we all have that. But with MS students, patients, you have less headroom, and so therefore, I'm very, obviously I have three practices. I train teachers. I am a very busy person. I have grandchildren. I have children, but I really take very good care of myself because I know that although I'm in very good shape, there is less energy, there's less headroom than the more healthy person has.
And do you think it's possible that some students with MS, that a teacher encountering them for the first time might not just visually, by their visual take on the student, might not realize that this, how easily fatigued they could get? I mean, you know, if you have a student who's been in an accident, for example, it's really clear that you have to adapt to that, right? But you think there's ever a that maybe there's something a little different about MS or similar other chronic diseases or neurological diseases that make it you have to maybe be a little more sensitive to that?
Yes, yes, of course, but we're trained, as Alexander teaches, to be very observant, and you know, you can see in someone's face and eyes and movement when they're becoming fatigued.
Right.
And I usually teach half-hour, 45-minute lessons or an hour lesson, and many times I teach the half-hour lesson for people with MS.
Right, that makes sense.
Shorter time.
Lessons. Yeah, right.
And also, I stress that when you come to make it easy, what time is a better time for you is the morning when you're less fatigued, as opposed to the afternoon or after your nap. We come when you feel more energetic, and so and also to try and not make it go to a teacher that's close by, make it as simple as possible for yourself. So I when I'm on the phone with a student or an email, I make sure that that's present, that they know that I try and be flexible for the time and for their convenience.
Right. And I've heard very similar comments from teachers who have had Parkinson's disease or rheumatoid arthritis, that sort of thing, that you really, you need to really be sensitive to all the issues you just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of cuts across the board. Is there anything else that you think would be important for an Alexander teacher to know about in working with an MS patient?
Well, yes, I think just to know that it happens very quickly. The fatigue can overwhelm you in a very, very fast way. I could have lots of energy, and I know my body, and I know myself. I know I can experience when it's leaving. And someone that is not familiar with the Alexander technique and is not aware of themselves that way, all of a sudden you see the person just go, just let go. So just for them to know that happens, it can happen very quickly.
You need to be ready for that.
Okay. It could happen within 10 minutes after you're with a student.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I think we've covered the main points, and my guest today has been Marta Corbello, who is an Alexander Technique teacher in New York City, also Norwalk, Connecticut, and Santa Fe, New Mexico. I assume not all at the same time.
At the same time.
Marta, that's a bit much, even for...
even for someone with so much energy.
Yeah.
It's not at the same time, but it's very busy life.
And she also is a senior faculty member at ACAT in New York, an Alexander Technique training course in New York City. Martha, thank you so much for being on the show today.
It really has been my pleasure. Thank you, Robert.